Praise God. Well, put your hands together for Jesus. He's the only one who is worthy to receive all praise and all glory and honor. Amen. Praise God. Please be seated for a moment. Praise God. Well, it's a great privilege and honor to come and share the word of God with you. But also, it's a great privilege and honor to serve your pastors. Amen. Aren't they wonderful? Come on. Aren't they wonderful? Praise God. Put your hands together for the service they do. Praise God. You know, come on, you can do better than that. Praise God. Praise God. Church ought to be an exciting place, right? Amen. Because there's life in the church. Where two or three gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst. So who is in our midst? Jesus. And so when he's in our midst, anything can happen. Every miracle can take place. Amen. Praise God. And I bring greetings to you from our church, Good Success Church, in Jandakot. It's south of the river. So if you ever that way, please come and visit us. We'd love to have you. And also, you can watch us on TV. We're on a couple of number of networks. We're on TBN as well as West TV as well. So we want to be a blessing to the church of God. Amen? Praise God. You know, I brought a book. It's called 101 Things That You Must Know About the Holy Spirit. It's also available at Kurong and other bookshop, but it's only going for $10. It's cheaper than Kurong. Praise God. So it'll really bless you. I had a note from one of the pastors in Perth recently. He said he's in his 80s, and he said, I picked up this book, and he said, I cannot stop reading it. And I kept it on my bedside, and every morning I go to it, and it's a blessing. So we want to give God all the glory and praise and honor to him. Amen. Praise God. Before we get into the Word of God, can we stand and welcome the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Spirit of God, you're the might of God. You're the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you come and open our eyes to see Jesus. We are here to see one person and one person only. His name is Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you open the word of life to us tonight, this morning, and impart to us the supernatural manna from heaven. And Father, as we take the blood of thy covenant, we declare your precious blood upon this meeting, that your anointing will rest upon this place, Lord, to touch, to heal, and to revive your great people. We give you all the praise and all the glory and honor for what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Having come to the house of God, your faith will be stronger. Your hope will be brighter. Your life will be fuller. Praise God. And you know, first of all, I was preparing for this service, and I thought I need to speak about prayer. And then the Lord changed. And then I thought, oh, maybe the Lord wants me to talk about faith. So I changed. And then one day, about 3 a.m. in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and he said, I'm giving you the message. And so I sent Pastor a photograph of a tabernacle. And that was before God changed, because God is in control and I'm not. Praise God. So this morning, I want to talk to you about my wonderful friend, the Holy Spirit. That's my subject this morning. And Paul the Apostle, by the inspiration and experience, he cries out in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, the last verse. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or the fellowship or the union, or in Greek, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, that's an amazing statement. Yes, sometimes we say that statement at the end of the service, but there is tremendous truth in that word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the union, the communion, the fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. And think about, or let me rephrase it, when you have that union, when you have that communion, when you have that koinonia with the Holy Spirit, something wonderful will happen to your life. Let me give you some so that I can stir you up this morning. Number one, it'll begin to birth in you unceasing prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That means don't stop praying. Hello? Are you all with me so far? Praise God. So when you have that union and when you have that communion, when you have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there's something that will birth in your heart, unceasing prayer. Now, let me say this to you. Private prayer with the Lord will always birth unceasing prayer. Can I say it again? Private prayer with the Lord will birth in you unceasing prayer. Now, Holy Spirit is always attracted to prayer. We see that in Luke 3:21. I don't know whether the scriptures are there or coming up. Okay, thank you. Let me show you something. Likewise, Luke 3, that's Romans 8:26. Okay, let me quote it. Luke 3:21 says, it says, when Jesus was praying, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And Acts 1:14 says, they were all in one accord. And when they were all in one accord, they were praying. And the result was, in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost came. So the Spirit of God is attracted to prayer. Can I hear amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, let me say something that I just want to put this in your heart. Where there is much prayer, there is much of the Spirit. Where there is much of the Spirit, there is much prayer. Can I say it again? Where there is much prayer, there is much of the Spirit. Where there is much of the Spirit, there is much prayer. Because prayer attracts the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost is present, you will keep praying. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me encourage you this morning what it means to pray with the Holy Spirit. What it means to have that communion and for Him to birth that power in you to pray without ceasing. Number one, let me put this way to you. When you pray with the Spirit of God, He will remind you of the promises of God. Hello? Let me show you a scripture. Go to Luke chapter 1, 37 and 38. Probably it'll come up because I want to show you something. And 37 says, with God, nothing is impossible. I love that scripture. With God, nothing will be impossible. Now, if you read that in Greek, one of the translations says, I want you to get hold of this. The spoken word of God is not void of power. In other words, the word of God contains in it its own power for its own fulfillment. Oh, I want you to get hold of this. Can I say it again? The word of God contains in it its own power for its own fulfillment. In other words, when you speak the word, as Pastor just spoke the word, that word in it has its own power for its own fulfillment. And when you release the word out of your mouth, it goes and never comes back to God void. It will accomplish what God has spoken because it has its own power within it for it to do what it said it will do. Can I hear amen? Amen. Praise God. So here the word says, nothing will be impossible with God. And then now Mary in next verse says, Lord, let it be done unto me according to what you have said. She turns the word back to God and says, the word of God has the power to perform. So therefore, Lord, you said it, you do it. Come on. Only the Holy Spirit can do that for you and me. Praise God. I want to read 38. Oh, it's gone off. 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Think about it. You're praying and the Spirit of God comes to you and quickens a promise to your heart. And you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you now have the faith that is rising within you, and you say, Lord, you spoke to me, let it be done according to what you have said. And you rest in the Lord, because now the word is working for you. Amen. Say after me, when I work the word will work for me. Come on, one more time. Did you have breakfast this morning? Let the Redeemer of the Lord keep their mouth shut. Say so. Let's say it. When I work the word, the word will work for me. How do I work the word? By taking the word in my heart and declaring it out of my mouth. Hello? And the word has his own power within it to accomplish its purpose. Amen. So, when you pray in the Spirit, number one, he will bring to remembrance the promises of God, and you can tell God, do it because you said it. Can I show you another scripture? 2 Samuel chapter 7. When you go home, read verse 18 to 25. But because of time, I will just quote to you verse 25. Prophet Nathan comes to David and gives him a tremendous promise. And you know what David says in verse 25? Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. Glory to Jesus. I love that scripture. You know, when God speaks to you and the Spirit of God is present, all you have to say is, Lord, you said it, you do it. Amen. Praise God. Nothing is impossible with God. Number one. Number two, the second thing that will happen in your prayer life is the Holy Spirit will inspire you to pray. There is a scripture in Psalm 81 and verse 10. It says, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Let me read it and explain to you. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and who's going to fill it? God will fill it. Recently I had a situation and I didn't know how to pray or what to pray. And all I have to do is to depend on the Holy Spirit. And so this person told me, I want you to pray. And when I looked at the situation, you know, it was impossible to pray. But when I opened my mouth, the Lord began to put his words inside of me. And I was amazed what came out of my mouth. Amen. See, many times you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray in a situation or circumstance. But when the Spirit of God is with you, he will fill your mouth. Amen. There was a wonderful minister friend of mine who has gone to be with the Lord now. And I never forgot what he said. He was a professor at Cambridge. And he joined the Second World War. And he was in the battlefront in Libya. And he said the German army was invading and they were retreating because he was fighting for the British army. And so they retreated 500 miles almost to the gates of Cairo. And he said the troops were so demoralized, the leaders were not doing anything, and he was just a young Christian at that time. And he said, Lord, I don't know how to pray in this situation. Can you please help me? And I remember him quoting that scripture, and he said, this is the exact scripture what God did for me. He said he opened his mouth and words came out of his mouth. And the words were, Lord, send us a general who is God-loving and will care for the troops, and also who is led by the Spirit who will give us victory. And he began to pray that prayer every day. And suddenly he heard the news that London has dispatched a general to come, a new general. And on the way, the plane crashed and that general died. So because of the incident, Winston Churchill has to take over the command and he sent Montgomery. And so when Montgomery came and he brought all the troops in front of him, he began to say, I believe in the God who will give us victory. And he began to pray. And he said when he heard his prayer, he said electricity went through his body. Exactly what he has asked. and the general came and uttered out of his mouth. You see, many times we don't know what to pray. But you open your mouth and God will fill your mouth with his words, because the Spirit of God is with you. Because you have that union and communion and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you all okay so far? Praise God. Number three. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 says, I speak in another tongue. All right, here we go. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. It's amazing when the Holy Spirit takes hold of you. You begin to pray in another tongue. And I want you to not think about this. You're praying in a tongue that you never heard before, never learned before, never understood before. It has to be supernatural. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Talk to me. Are you all awake? Amen. Praise God. Are you with me? That's what happens when you have that union and the communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me give you another thing about the prayer. Romans 8:22 says, travailing in prayer. Let me read that scripture. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pang or together until now. One translation uses the word travail. Now, I don't know whether you love history, Christian history. Anybody heard about Evan Roberts? Welsh revival. This was in the early days in the Welsh revival. Evan Roberts' brother records in his journals, because they were very poor. And they used to sleep on the same bed, the two brothers. And his brother records that before many, many months before the revival began, every night the Holy Spirit will take hold of his brother and he will weep, he will cry, and he will groan all night in his sleep, praying, travailing in prayer. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. You see, he will put in you and birth in you a hunger for souls. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. You know, you will not just say, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. No, 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 no. I want to take as many as possible to heaven with me. Come on, talk to me. Amen. And when you come every morning, Sunday morning, to Hill City Church, you're not going to come alone. You're going to bring somebody with you, because there is a urge and a passion in your heart to touch as many people as possible. And that can only be birthed by the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God is good. His mercy endureth forever. Praise God. My sister, I want you to know God is going to use you. Sorry, what's your name? Is that your daughter? Every time I come, God picks you, right? God's going to use you. God's going to use you. I mean, you may not know how big God is going to use you, but I want to put that seed inside of you. Think big, see big, dream big, because God's going to use you. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Praise God. So remember, when you have that union and the communion and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, something wonderful will happen. Unceasing prayer. And also remember what we learned. And number one, he will remind you the promises of God. And number two, I told you that not only you will travail in prayer, but also remember what we said, you'll speak in an unknown language. Is that right? Praise God. And you will open your mouth and he will fill it up. Let me give you one more scripture. Jude, I don't know whether I sent that or not. Jude. There's only one chapter, but verse 20. It says, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, your faith will be birthed. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in what? In the Holy Ghost. You know, when you come out of that closet, praying with the Holy Spirit, faith is born in your heart. You become like a giant. Amen. All things are possible with God. Praise God. Because now you have inner strength, because the Spirit of God has strengthened you. Praise God. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Praise God. Now, can I take you a bit further? Number two. See, number one, your prayer life will change. And number two, the communion, the koinonia, the union, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit will bring the presence of God in your life. It's the presence of God that imparts the substance of God to your life. You know, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, He brings the presence of God and He rubs the presence, God's, I'll put it this way, God's substance upon your life. Let me say something to you. Miracles don't change life. It is the presence of God that changes life. You know, the children of Israel saw great miracles. I mean, if you read Exodus 14, verse 22, you will see when they crossed the Red Sea, I mean, the waters were parted and it stood like two walls. I mean, have you seen anything like that? And then verse 25 says that God Himself took the wheels of those chariots. I mean, what a miracle. And every morning they had manna from heaven. Their shoes and their clothes were kept brand new. The label was still there. Think about that. Hello? And not only that, I mean, God brought water out of the rock. Hello? They were led cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night every day. But yet, when Moses was up on the mountain and got a bit delayed because he was talking to God, and what did they do? They made a calf out of gold and called it Jehovah. So miracles don't change lives. It is the presence of God that changes life. And His presence is in this house. You see, I want to show you scripture. Go to Psalm 103, verse 7. He said, Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel knew the acts of God. If you follow the acts, you will fall away. But if you'll follow His ways, you will never fall away. Amen. Because you see, that's what's happening today. People run from this pillar to that post to that because there's somebody here, somebody there. They run here and there. But they're not running after the ways of God. You see, man cannot give you anything. Only God can give you. Come on, talk to me. That's why Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Come on. Only God can impart to you the anointing. Amen. So look to the Lord because He is the source of all things. Amen. My brother, what's your name there? Sam, God is going to bless you. Are you with me? God put some ideas in your heart. Don't give up because the weather, the conducive environment is not there. Don't give up. God will put everything right for you. And then you begin to plant the seed and it'll begin to grow. So I came here to encourage you, right? Because God brought you with a purpose, with a plan, with a design, with a strategy. Hold on to His hand. Never look to the right, nor look to the left, but He will bring it to pass what He said He will do for you. Amen. Praise God. There is a person, you know, you find it hard to find a job, but I want you to know, He will find it for you. It won't be long from today. You just take hold of that word and say, Lord, I thank You. Because God, you in your heart you said, the job that I wanted to do, there's no job like that in town. But I want you to know God can create one for you. That's why He's called the Creator God. Amen. He can create something from nothing. Amen. All right. So remember, when you have that union and when you have that communion, when you have that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? The presence of God will be present with you. Amen. Praise God. Number three. Are you all okay? We are still friends? All right. Okay. Number three. When you have that union and communion with the Holy Spirit, the third thing that will happen to you is He's the fellowship. He will guide you. He will lead you. And He will direct you. Why Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are called what? the sons of God. Remember something. It doesn't say child of God. It says sons of God. You know why? Because when you were born again, you were a child. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, you become mature in the things of God. Hello? That's why it doesn't say a child. The word is sons and daughters. The mature ones. You know, no one can do what the Holy Spirit will do. Because only the Spirit of God can mature you in the things of God. Amen. No Bible school can do that. There are two things nobody else can do. First, the born again. John 3:5. You have to be born by the water and the Spirit. Come on. Is that right? And only you can mature when you are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. Now let me take you a detour, right? You don't have the scripture, but I just felt I want to give you. Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? Now let me ask you a question. If you walk in the rain, what will happen to you? Are you sure you're going to get wet? Right. So wet and water go together, right? So likewise, if you walk in the Spirit, heaven will impart to you a supernatural substance whereby you can say no to the things of the flesh. Now, think about this. Christ Jesus was led by the Spirit all the way. Would you agree? Come on, talk to me now. Is that right? All the way. He was led by the Spirit. Let me give you some scriptures. Luke 4:1, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. You know, we think that Jesus was all alone in the wilderness. No, no, no. The Spirit of God was with him. When you go through a wilderness experience, remember the Holy Spirit is always there with you. Amen. Are you with me? And then Luke 4:14, he comes out of the wilderness and he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Luke 4:18, he walks into the temple, he opened the scrolls, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So not only he leads him, he empowers him, he gives him the power to fulfill God's call for his life. You know, as I speak, somebody has a stomach ailment. You had it for a long time. You have it for more than 2 years. But right at this moment, Jesus is healing you. It will never, ever come back after this moment. Amen. And somebody had a minor accident and you had this problem with your spine. And the Lord is correcting it right now. In Jesus' name, I give you praise, Lord. You know why the Lord is healing? Because he's in the house. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus, my Lord, was led by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit. And you know, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So now he fulfills God's work for his life or purpose for his life by the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And I love this. Luke 11:20, he said, if I cast out the demons by the finger of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come. And Matthew 12:28, he said, if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come. So who is the finger of God? It's none other than the Holy Spirit. Wow. Are you with me? Say after me, the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Praise God. My sister here, I want you to know, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, and that promise will always be your portion. Always. I see a table that is full of groceries, full of your provision, and at this moment you may lack finance, but I want you to know God will bring it to you. Every bill will be paid. The Lord sent me all the way from south to tell you that. Praise God. God is good, right? Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. And now, in Hebrews 9:14, now I don't have the scriptures, but you know, when you preach, the Holy Spirit asks you to take a detour, so I'm doing. He's the boss, right? Hebrews 9:14 says that now he goes to the cross of Calvary by the Spirit of God, without any blemish, by the eternal Spirit. And Romans 1:4, he's raised from the grave by the Spirit of holiness, who is the Holy Spirit. So think about this. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God himself, was led by the Spirit all the way. And so when you have the union and the communion and the koinonia with the Holy Spirit, you know what will happen? You know what will happen? He will lead you. He will direct you. He will guide you. You will be at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing, my sister. Amen. Praise God. So think about what I've given you so far. Number one, he will birth unceasing prayer. Hello? The prayer meeting will be filled. And number two, think about it. What did I say? The presence of God will be with you. And number three, the fellowship. He will lead, he will direct, and he will guide you. And number four, sharing together. You know, John 14 and 26 is a wonderful scripture. Can I read it to you? All right, it'll come up. But the helper. Now say helper. You know why it says helper? Because I need help. Is there anyone here who does not need help? Jesus knows that I need help. That's why he sent me a helper. So one day, this is my prayer. One day I was crying, Jesus, where are you? He's up on the, he's in the right hand of the Father interceding for me, right? And you know what the Lord said? You have a helper standing right next to you. Why don't you ask him? Do you know you have a helper on earth? Amen. That's what he put there. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things. Are you sure? What does all means? Everything you need to know pertaining to godly life. Good success life. Hello? He will teach you and bring you to remembrance all the things I said to you. Now let me put it this, there is no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit. Let me help you to understand. Now, how many have been to school? Can I see your hand at least? Right. So that means you have encountered a teacher, right? Correct? Now, think about this. A teacher will teach you. And when the examination comes, they will give you an examination paper. But you have to answer and give it back to the teacher. And the teacher won't help you. And the teacher will mark and will tell you whether you passed the exam or failed the exam. Correct? But I know a teacher who will not only teach me, but when the examination comes, he will sit with me and make sure I pass the exam. His name is the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a hand. He is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you with me? Amen. That's why I don't fail exams. You see, when you have that union and communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you will never fail the exam. Amen. Thank you, Lord. My brother, you didn't come here by accident. God brought you. Amen. And I want to encourage you. Amen. As you sup in his word, the word is going to come alive. Amen. And every promise that God speaks to you through the word, you hold on and it will not fall away. It will grow and it will bear fruit. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. So we have a teacher, right? Now I was preaching at a conference and so I said to them, you know, there are 66 books in the Bible. Is that right? Are you sure? All right. And I said to them, you know, every question, I don't know, there are about 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Every question every individual will ever have can be answered in the Word of God. So this young man comes to me And he says to me, you know what? What did you say? That means the 7 billion people have all these questions, and you mean to say the 66 books in the Bible can answer all those questions? It was a good question. And I said, how do I answer? And the Holy Ghost gave me a marvelous answer. And he said, and I said to the young man, do you see a piano? It has, you know, 88 keys, they tell me, the black and the white. All right. I'm not a musician, but I, you know. And he said, I said to him, if you put an accomplished pianist behind that, and from the limited number of keys, 88 keys, that pianist can bring forth millions of melodies. Likewise, if you give this word of God to the author and the interpreter, the Holy Spirit, he can give you all the answers you will ever need in life. Amen. Praise God. Why? He's the teacher, Jesus said. He will teach you all things. Amen. You know, I found that if you walk with the Holy Spirit, he'll be the greatest concordance for you. He will bring to remembrance the word of God like that. Come on. Amen. You know, when I got saved in London. And I remember going to Yorkshire once. And I met an African missionary from Tanzania. And I was a young Christian. And he said something and I never forgot. He said, this is talking about 70s and 80s. I think Nyerere was still there, very communist. And he said they were burning Bibles there at that time. And he said, I learned something. I put in my heart something. Even if they cut my thumb or toe, that must speak the word of God. I must get this word into my life, and it must flow through every vein in my body. And you know, I never forgot that. I said, you know, that word must become life in us. Come on, talk to me now. Amen. Praise God. So remember, you can lose the American Express, but not the word of God. You cannot leave home without the word of God. The word must come alive in your heart. Amen. So when you have communion and union with the Holy Spirit, the word will come alive. He will remind you. He will teach you the word of God. Amen. Can I take you a bit further? Right. Now, the word, the communion of the Holy Spirit will make him participate with you. You know, in Acts 5:32, it says, Peter says, you know, he says, we are witness of the resurrection, but also the Holy Spirit who is with us. He will confirm and affirm the gospel that you preach. The good news. Hello? I remember I was in a country, and I'm not going to mention the nation, and their main service is on Friday. So the pastor told me at the end of the, that's on Thursday, he said, look, I've done some teaching, and I was a whole day teaching, and he said, there's a couple that, a family that having trouble with their son, can you just on the way, would you be kind enough to pray for the son because they want you to come and pray? So I walked and I said, yes, I was very tired that day. So the driver took me to that house and I walked in and I saw this little boy who was unable to walk. And you know, when you're tired, you don't have time for Pentecostal prayers. Right? And I said, I just laid hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, just touch him, heal him, restore him. And I went off. And Friday is the meeting. And in that church, if you don't come early, you don't get a seat. Thousands of people rush in. And so there is no gap for any altar call. So if you're preaching from here, the seats are right there. And so I looked to my left and I saw this little boy running. And so through that incident, the family got saved. And I then later, see how the Holy Spirit participates. Later, one day, I remember this lady, this little boy's mother rang me and said, you know, I'm a board of director on one of the largest company in my land. And the crown prince of that nation is also a board of director. Right? And so he has been not well for a long, long time, but he's not a Christian. But you know, something came on me when we had a break, and I felt that I need to give a book. So I gave you a book. I wrote a book, called How to Protect Yourself by the Blood of Jesus. And I took courage, even though it's prohibited or it's not forbidden, I say, to actually share the Christian faith. She took courage to give that book. And so he rings me, she said, and he rang me and he said, as soon as I started reading the book, I'm crying. And I need to speak to the author. So he rings me to Perth, and I said, yes. And so after the lady put the phone down, he rang me after 10 minutes, and I began to speak to him. And he spoke in a very, a very good accent he had. He must have been educated in England or somewhere. And so he said, I began to read the book, and I can't stop crying. So I began to tell him about the love of Jesus and how Jesus shed his blood for him. And in the middle of the conversation, the Lord told me, son, tell him he has a tremor in his finger. So I said, sir, you have a tremor in your middle finger. Now he began to cry more. And he said, only me and my mother knows about it. Nobody else knows. You know. And so, cut the story short. I want to tell you, so he sent a message. The Gospel of John is his favorite book. You see how the Holy Spirit participates with you in the gospel. He affirms and he confirms the good news that you preach. Hello. Amen. Can I take you a bit further? Can you take a few more minutes? All right. Praise God. Now, next. So number one, when you have that union and communion with the Holy Spirit, you will pray without ceasing. Agreed. And number two, the presence of God will be with you. Agreed. And number three, the fellowship. He will lead, he will direct, and he will guide you. Agreed. And number four, he will teach you all things, sharing together. He will share the word of God with you. Correct? And number five, participation. He will participate with you, affirming and confirming the gospel. Hello? Amen? Praise God. All right. Number six. When you have union and commune with the Holy Spirit, you will become a worshiper. You know, when you come on Sunday, nobody has to pump you up. You're a worshiper all the days of your life. Even while you're working, you're worshiping. Hello? John 4:24, Jesus said, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, let me show you something. My brother, can you come? Come, my brother. I need you. Praise God. Young man, come up. All right, just stand here. Let me show you something. Oh, let's stand there. Got more space. Facing the crowd. Stand next to each other. Come closer to me. Don't be frightened. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, we are a triune being. Spirit, soul, come on, body, correct? So let's look at it. Spirit, soul, body, correct? This soul has two exits. It can touch the seen world through the body. Come on, talk to me now. And the unseen world through the spirit, correct? Now, spirit, soul, and body. Now, when God created Adam, he created him spirit, soul, and body. But remember, God is a spirit. So if Adam wants to commune with God, he has to commune with God through the spirit. So let's assume God is here, so his spirit is communing with God. And his soul is subject, turn that way, yeah. His soul is subject to the spirit, correct? And I want you to score. Go down. Now, yeah, come on. That's it. Sit down. That's it. So his body or his flesh has nothing to do with anything. Hello? Why? Because now Adam, through his spirit, communing with God, and his soul is subject to the spirit. So Adam is naked. He doesn't even know because he's conscious of God and not self. Hello? All about Adam, when he walked with God, he was conscious about God and not self. Correct? The moment he sinned, something happened. Moment he sinned, the spirit lost its union with God. You go down. Scott, that's better. And now you come up and turn that way. And now the soul became subject to flesh, and he went and hid because he knew he was naked now. Why? Because he's lost his God consciousness, and now he became self-conscious. It's all about him and not about God. Right? But now, when you came to Jesus, something amazing happened. The Holy Spirit came and quickened your dead spirit. The spirit came alive. And now, you got to do something. You got to keep coming every Sunday to Hill City Church. Why? Because this flesh needs to go down. Hello? And now, the soul needs to be subject to the spirit. The way that God meant it to be. Come on. That's what the Word of God will do. Remember the Bible says we are changed from glory to glory? Hello? Are you with me? So this is the true worship. A worshiper who worships God in spirit and in truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Amen? Praise God. Give them a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, the last one. All right. Can you take a 5 more minutes, Pastor? Yeah. All right, last one. See, when you have that union and the communion with the Holy Spirit, he becomes your friend forever. He's a friend who abides with you forever. Look at John 14 and verse 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He may abide when you come on Sunday. All right, let me try again. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, and he may abide when you feel like it. What does that mean, forever? It means all the time. Is that right, my brother? All the time, all the time. Is that right, my brother? All the time. He abides with you all the time. He is going to be a true friend to you. Let me give you a testimony just to encourage you. You know, once I have to go and teach in U.S. states. So I, of course, you know, living in Perth, I have to take Perth, Sydney, Los Angeles. That's my flight path. So I've got onto the plane, and it's an economy class ticket. So I'm arrived in Sydney, and now in Sydney, I'm queuing up to get into the plane, right? So it's a big queue. So I got an economy class ticket, and I said, Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be nice we both fly first class? Because we'll have a bigger chair then. He's my friend, right? I can ask him. And I said, wouldn't it be nice? I'll be fresh to teach. But moreover, you know, you can teach me on the way. It'd be good. So I had a conversation with him. And then I just told him. Now I'm about to board. And my boarding pass is there. And so the lady takes the pass. And she puts it into that machine. And the moment she does, all the computer systems goes blink. And now I'm standing there. The queue is getting longer. And they're trying to, I don't know, it took about 20, half an hour or something. Still, they didn't fix the computer. So they had to manually seat passengers in the aircraft. Where do you think I got in? First class flying to Los Angeles. Now, the story doesn't stop there. So I share this testimony with the class, and this young man comes and says, it's only one time. Won't happen again. So I come back now, back in the airport at LA, and I remembered what he said. And I said, remember? To my friend, remember what he said? It's only one time. So I walk to the gate. I already had a boarding pass, and this lady took my boarding pass, typed something, tore it, and gave me another one, 4D. So I walked into the plane, and I wasn't sure. So I was about to walk towards the economy class. They said, "No, sir, your flight right in front." And so I walked in, and it's the Qantas, you know, the big top, and it's all flat beds. And next to me was Beattie, you know, the former Queensland Premier, Peter Beattie. He was the next seat. And I said, "Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Isn't that wonderful? God is good." You know why? Because he's a true friend. He's a true friend. If God can do it for me, sister, God can do it for you. Is that right? Amen. Why? Because when you make him your true friend, he will do things for you that you never even imagined. Amen. Praise God. Never limit him. All right. Can I just quickly run through and close it? All right. What did I say? Number one, when you have that union, when you have that communion with the Holy Spirit, you will pray without ceasing. God's going to make you fruitful. God's going to bless you. Amen? Amen. Every desire God put in your heart, don't forget, God spoke to you and it will come to pass. Amen. God's going to make you fruitful. Amen. Your family. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me take you a bit further. Number two, the presence of God will be with you. And number three, he will lead you, he will direct you, and he will guide you. Amen. And next, we learn, he will share the gospel with you. He will teach you. Is that right? Amen. And then you'll become a worshiper, a true worshiper. I forgot to say, participate with you. He will affirm and confirm the gospel with you. And you'll become a true worshiper. And finally, you will have a true friend, the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. My brother, I've never met you before, but you're very good with your hands. And God has blessed you with it. Yes, God has blessed you. And I want you to know God's going to open a new door for you. A brand new door that you never knew it is there. Right? Because God is faithful. Right? And you'll walk through that door, and God will give you the wisdom what to do, how to do, when to do. And God will open this door. And after that, I want you to know you will never lack financially. There'll be always provision. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Shall we stand, please? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful, blessed Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And Spirit of God, I ask right now, Lord, touch your people today in the name of Jesus. You know where they are at. You know the needs they have. Lord Jesus, walk among us and touch us this day in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you are here this morning and you say, "I long for that union. I long for that communion. I long for that fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell him that's my heart is." If that is you, I want you to step out of your chair and come and stand here, because it's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. And I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.